Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you, and welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. This morning we have Council 527 Laurel Highlands with us, previously known as the Boy Scouts, now known as the Scouts. And these two gentlemen are here to tell us what's going on and the things that have happened and things that are going on with this particular council. We have Mike Sedor and also Chuck Coral. And in a minute I'm going to ask them about themselves, but I just wanted to make sure we got everybody straight there. So anyway, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. It's really great to have you here on Bedford County Speaks. I appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're glad to be here.
Mike, tell me a little bit about you. What is your official title with the Scouts? What do you do with the company?
I am what's called a field director, and that's a recent promotion for me. But a field director, I get to work with other scouting professionals in our council, as well as work with a team of volunteers to help deliver the scouting mission and program. And so my biggest focus is helping our geographic area to be able to have access to recruiting, to good fundraising opportunities for the scouts to work with, raising money to help be self-sufficient, and also to try to recruit and train volunteers to help deliver the day-to-day program of scouting.
Mike has this very attractive shirt on. It says Emergent Series. What is that about?
So I'm actually in the middle of a 10-month leadership training series called the Emergent Leadership Series. And this started actually as part of a training program from Michigan, where they were seeing that, at the national level, we had the introduction training for scouting professionals, but we really didn't have a whole lot of development training beyond getting started. So a few years ago, they started with this emergent leadership training to try to give the scouting professionals a more diverse and broader leadership training. And years ago we taught people how to be managers. Now we're teaching people how to lead and inspire others.
Well, that's very good. Can you tell me about the name of the Scouts? We used to call them the Boy Scouts, and now we call them the Scouts.
Officially, 1 year ago, February 8th of 2025, Scouting America was the new brand. And so we branded ourselves a year ago now with the Scouting America in order to kind of fit our more broader focus of what we do for the youth in our community. Years ago, we were known for just recruiting boys to the program. And back in the late 60s, early 70s, our programs like Exploring, we started allowing girls to be members to be able to learn what Exploring was all about. And then in 1998, we started the Venturing program, which was also now a co-ed program, so that young ladies and young men 14 to 20 years old could do the high adventure activities and develop some leadership skills there. And then it's been about 12 years ago we started now introducing Cub Scouts, girls into the Cub Scout program. And then about 6 years ago, the first girls were able to join Scouting America in a Boy Scout troop, and they were still called Boy Scout troops, and then we changed it to Scouts BSA to try to be a little more inclusive with our branding. And then officially last year, we changed our organizational branding to Scouting America.
Are you pleased with the results so far?
We think it's a much nicer approach, and we see a lot of positive from the folks about it. There's still folks in the community that don't quite understand why we did it, but the biggest thing was we had a lot of demand from families, especially young families. They wanted a one-stop shop for their kids, and there's nothing that we were ever doing in the scouting program that really said, this needs to be a boy thing and this needs to be a girl thing. So the leadership skills and fundamentals that we teach are appropriate for all young men and women.
I was just wondering about the male bonding thing and so forth, and climbing Matterhorns and chopping trees down. Are you still doing all that?
We still do a lot of outdoor activity. In fact, that's the core classroom for scouting, is the outdoors. It's you know, where kids learn the leadership skills is actually in practice out in the field and doing a lot of outdoor camping and high adventure activities. It's just easier for them to learn that through the scouting program.
I have attributed my career to the Boy Scouts.
Okay.
In sort of an oblique way. I went to a jamboree when I was a young boy in Valley Forge. I was living in the Philadelphia area then. Mm-hmm. The boys had this ham radio apparatus set up, and they built a tower out of wood, and it really impressed me. This thing went up about, I don't know, 25 or 30 feet, and it was all tied together. You know, they had it laced together, and they put their antennas on this wooden tower. And I thought, how cool is this? And so as a result, I later became a ham radio operator, and then I got into broadcasting. I very thick all the way back to the Boy Scouts. We also have here a local guy, Chuck Coral from Dutch Corners. I'm glad you came all this way, unlike your counterpart who just had to cross the street. Chuck, tell me about you. How did you get involved in scouting?
How I got involved in scouting is an interesting story. My son came home like any other Cub Scout. 58? How old is he? Well, this would have been like 18 years ago. And he brought this little flyer home. And it said, join Cub Scouts, he is. And Dad goes, I want to do this. I said, okay. Well, at the time, I was working on starting my shop. And so I took him to his first meeting, and I sat there with him, and because he was a Tiger Scout. Parents have to stick around. Next meeting came along, and I went and went sitting with him, and I said, I might have to step out. I'm expecting a very important phone call. It was for a big job and was going to be the definition of my business. So the phone rang right as the meeting started, so I said, I'll be right back in. So I walked outside to take the phone call. When I came back in, everybody's staring at me, and I'm trying to figure out what I did, you know. And I sat down beside Nate, and I said, Nate, what happened? And he goes, well, you're our new leader. I said, well, how did that happen? They said we needed one and no one else volunteered, so I told him you'd do it.
Right. This is totally dangerous to leave a meeting or not show up.
Yes. So that's how I got started. Started out as a Tiger leader. Following year, I was assistant Cub Master. The year after that, I became Cub Master. And I was a Cub Master for Pack 482 for probably 15 years. And I have four boys.
Oh, boy.
So my youngest one is just now getting ready to bridge over from Cub Scouts. Mm. So we got to do the Cub Scouts with the first two and got them in the Boy Scouts. And my oldest son, he just graduated college from marine biology. His whole life's nothing but the ocean. Water, it's all he wanted. And I said, he was 12 or 13. I said, do you know anything about the Sea Scouts? He goes, no, not really. I said, I'm going to dig into it. So I dug into it, and I found out that they were changing the regulations for and requirements for Sea Scouts, way we could do it more inland. Instead of having to have a big motorized boat on the ocean, we could have kayaks and a little sailboat. So I dug into it, and found us a charter organization, and in 2021, I was able to start it. It took 5 years to get it started, but I was able to get it started. Started with seven or eight scouts, and I had a charter, and we went from there. And it was all based because my son was interested in the ocean. Well, he finished his Eagle, joined the ship. By the time we got it started, he was going to college, so he never finished the last quartermaster
requirement. Is that what your outfit's called, a ship?
Yep, we are Sea Scout ships. So my next oldest son, he was not interested in the Boy Scout part at all. He wanted water. So I couldn't get him to meetings and everything. So when the Sea Scout ship started, that's where his passion was. That's where we went. So he is actually one step away from quartermaster, which is the Eagle
equivalent
in Sea Scouts.
So the top spot is quartermaster.
Yeah.
We are speaking to Mike Sedor and Chuck Coral of the Council 527 Laurel Hunt Scouting. My name is Lloyd Roach, and this is Bedford County Speaks, and we want to remind you today that the program is brought to you by BCDA, Bedford County Development Association. I want to explore something else. I think you guys have had an extraordinary run, considering how long the scouting system has been around. My uncle went on a scouting trip in 1922, and they walked across Europe. Now, they wouldn't let the kids do this today, but he was only 15 or 16 years old, and he and his friends walked across Europe and lived off the land. That's what they did. They went from house to house. They said, we're American Boy Scouts, and we just would like to see if we could camp in your backyard or whatever. And so do they still have adventures like that, Mike? I mean, do they still do that kind of thing?
So there are probably a lot of troops that have some older scouts that go do that kind of stuff, especially, you know, when the kids are, you know, maybe going into college and, you know, maybe looking to do a gap year or something like that. They'll do some major adventures. I have worked now in four different councils in my career, and there were several groups throughout my career in different places that I've lived that have, you know, gone to world jamborees in multiple different countries. And there's, in Europe, they have a jamboree that's not necessarily a world jamboree, but it's more like a European jamboree more frequently than we have the world jamborees. And so you would hear some of the troops like to go do that. We had a couple troops that would go to Canada every year or every other year because they would rotate. There was a friendship camporee, and they would have several thousand scouts there to be up for a weekend just at a camporee, and they get to do all kinds of scout skills and competitions and mostly just have fun getting to know kids from other parts of the world.
Fascinating. Do you do any of this sort of thing with the Sea Scouts? Take them out on a long cruise or something like that?
Oh, that's exactly what it's called. It's called a long cruise. And they have to fulfill a long cruise in order to make quartermaster. My boy that's done it, he's done three long cruises. Their long cruises is equivalent of 14 nights of camping. You don't have to do it all at one time. Mm-hmm. So we've done academies where we got out on the water. And we've taken the Sea Scouts to Florida. In 2024, we took a Florida trip, and we spent a week at the Keys doing different things, snorkeling, visiting museums. We got to visit the Coast Guard base in Key West, which was really cool to see how the Coast Guard, because we are the youth affiliate for the Coast Guard.
Right.
So it was really nice to see what opportunities they had when moving forward, and that was basically the idea of the trip, was for them to explore the opportunities they had with the education they were getting through Sea Scouts. And Sea Scouts has been around since 1912, so it's only 2 years younger than Scouting America.
You know, the United States Navy League operates something called the Cadets. Sea Cadets, right, Sea Cadets. And that's a pretty active program, but that's more linear, that they join them, they hopefully will join the Navy, mm-hmm. which is what the Navy wants to do. They're always looking for people. So do you have the Coast Guard trolling your guys for possible recruits in the future?
Just about every major event that we go to, the Coast Guard is there recruiting.
Right.
Either them or the Coast Guard Academy.
Well, they'd be silly if they didn't.
Yeah, because... In my opinion, the Navy and the Coast Guard, the kids that I'm training, they should be looking at, because these kids will have the knowledge of the boats and the general knowledge of how to do the knots and which side of the boat is which and all that. They'll know that before they even get there.
Well, it will be a big advantage. And we were speaking today to Mike Sedor and Chuck Carl. You were just listening to Chuck talk about his experience with our Sea Scout. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about this, and I want to hear what some of the folks in Bedford County are doing with this group when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Leah Peppel of Allegheny College of Maryland, Bedford County Campus, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Now let's return to Lloyd and his guest on Bedford County Speaks.
We have returned, and by the way, we want to say a big thank you to the Hebrews. We come and we abscond their back room when we do these programs. We like coming here because it's nice and quiet and they're very cordial. And I'll have to go out and buy a pot of coffee because they're very nice about this. Our guest today is Mike Sedor and Chuck Coral, and they're from the Council 527 of the Little Highlands Scouts. You're now called Scouting America, so we've learned all the new things. Chuck, let me go back a minute to your Sea Scouts. What is the name of your local Bedford County Sea Scouts?
We are Sea Scout Ship 4481. We meet at the Trinity Lutheran Church. Our nickname is the SSS Mako. SSS stands for Sea Scout Ship, and Mako is our name. Every ship in the country has a name that they vote on, and when we first got started in 2021, we needed to come up with a name. Originally, we were going to be the Sea Owls, but we couldn't get the number we needed to be that. The Sea Owl was a submarine in World War II. The number was already used somewhere, so we couldn't use that number. So we used our traditional number for the area, which was 4481. And so I let the kids decide on a name, and they came up with the Mako.
Did you know the ships are named after counties?
Mm-hmm.
I served on a ship called the Page County, which is in Virginia. And I remember going to the county commissioners meeting in Page County, Virginia, to announce that I was here, former crewman of the Page County, and these guys didn't even know that they had a ship named after their county. So I thought, typical government efficiency here. You know? But yeah, it's a very interesting thing with how they named the ship. So what does Mako mean anything?
Not really. The idea behind the Mako, basically, it was everybody's favorite shark in the ocean.
Ah,
is basically how we got it.
I see. Okay, after the fish, right?
They liked it. Yeah, they liked it because it was fast, it was smart, and it was just an overall one of the main predators of the ocean.
So, do you teach marlin spike seamanship in your courses?
Oh my! And that's the one. Remember how I said my son has one step to go to finish quartermaster?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has to splice a double braided line and make an eye loop.
Right.
And he is struggling with it. Splicing regular line, he had no problem with. He asked why the chain was around the pole. I said, that's to pull it tight.
Exactly right.
So, yeah, we're working on it, and we're learning together.
That's great.
That's the one great thing about starting a Sea Scout ship and having some of my core members still there is we've all learned together, and we've all bonded.
Tell me about the Eagle Scout program these days.
So the Eagle Scout program is very much the same as it's been since its inception. Of course, you know, a scout has to earn 21 required merit badges to be able to do that. They have to do an Eagle service project, and they can't do all this stuff just by, you know, working with a handful of people. They actually got to go meet people, earn merit badges, getting to do things like personal management and personal fitness and, you know, citizenship in the community, citizenship in the nation, citizenship in the world. There's a lot of requirements that are just those skills that people need to know to be able to survive in life, you know. And that's what the Eagle Scout badge kind of represents. It's a, you know, most of the time when somebody earns their Eagle Scout and they get to go off to college or get to go into the service or you know, whatever, having that Eagle Scout on their resume or on their application puts them at the head of the list for people getting recruited to jobs and to colleges and whatnot.
Let me tell you a story, true story. I operated a radio station in Philadelphia for many years, and there were two people in one day for a sales job. One of them came in a suit, looked terrific. The other one was sort of casual. I asked the guy in the suit, I said, what's your background? He said, I'm an Eagle Scout. I said, fine, you're hired. I'll tell the other guy to go home. That's how impressed I was with this guy, because he had everything together right now. And I think that's what the Eagle Scouts are teaching these young people.
Absolutely. You're prepared, and a lot of people realize that, you know, the Eagle Scout, in order to get that, you actually have to follow through and complete a very, very, you know, difficult task. And those work projects or community service projects, they aren't just a 2 or 3 hour kind of thing. It's, you know, they've got to go through the planning process, approval process. They've got to meet with a community organization, come up with whatever their project is going to be, and they're very stressful at sometimes for some of the kids. But it teaches them follow through.
Yeah.
You know, it teaches them all the steps in, you know, project planning and management. And that's something very needed today.
I was talking to the folks at Fort Bedford. We have an historic fort over there. And they were talking about some work they needed around the place. And I said, why don't you get the Eagle Scouts? And I had no idea how to reach Eagle Scouts. So now I do. Because this would make a great Eagle Scout thing this summer. They want to spruce up the outside. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of project they can do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We've got a number of kids that are probably looking for projects in the different troops around.
I'll tell you about that after our program today. We're speaking to Mike Sedor and Chuck Coral, who are both with Scouting America here in Bedford County, and they represent Council 527. We're learning a lot about the scouting program. I'll tell you, it's really changed a lot, and to the better, to my opinion, it sounds like. This Sea Scout thing is fascinating to me. I didn't realize you had been so organized. Locally, do you go up to the lake up in Huntington County, or what do you do?
We have been to Raystown. Most of the stuff we do locally is at Shawnee, or all my training that I do is at the Sportsman's Club. If you're familiar with the Sportsman's Club and the Sportsman's Lake,
right.
It's a very controlled area, so when we get new scouts in and we need to teach them the kayak safety and all that, it's a good place to put them because it's controlled. So when they dump their kayak, we can get them out.
Right.
You can take them to a major lake like Raystown. You know how deep that is.
Right. And do these young people learn all the terminology fore and aft and starboard and all that stuff and deck and overhead and all that stuff?
Yeah.
The hardest thing that I've had teaching them is learning the 24-hour clock.
Yeah. That's not hard.
When I tell them to meet at 1800, they're like, what's that? The Sea Scouts, to me, is your step between the regular troops and the regular camps and the real high adventure stuff. Mm-hmm. You come to us whenever basically you've exhausted your scouting skills, or you have no interest in basic scouting, but you want to learn stuff because you love the water. We take 14 to 20-year-olds, and we have a Maritime Explorer Club for 11 to 14-year-olds. It's kind of like our Cub Scouts. In the wintertime, we only meet once every other week because there's not much we can do outside, so we do book work and like this tomorrow.
Unless you happen to own an icebreaker.
Yeah. We're doing our planning for the summer. The scouts have an opportunity this year to go to Lake Erie, and actually, there's a possibility that we might be able to take the Niagara out onto Lake Erie.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure you're familiar with the Niagara, but that is a very good opportunity, and if we can do it, we're going to do it.
Well, good luck. This is great. Our guests are Mike Sedor and Chuck Coral from the Laurel Highlands Scouts Council, and we're learning about the Scouts, formerly Boy Scouts, now just the Scouts. Tell me about the girls, Mike. How do they fit in? I mean, they just get to get in there and do it like everyone else?
Yeah, actually, I mean, at our Cub Scout level, the girls have been integrated. At one point, they did what they called girl dens, and so they kept the boy dens and the girl dens separated. But then a few years back, they just decided to go ahead and let them mingle, and it's working out well because parents are like, you know, the kids are in church together, they're in school together, you know, we're not seeing any issues. And then in 2024 through 2025, National did a pilot program where they had what was called family troops. And so they did it around different councils throughout the country, did this pilot program to see how well a boy troop and a girl troop could work together. Because, you know, up until that point, once they introduced the girl troops several years back, they were separated. There was a girl troop and a boy troop. And actually, in Bedford County, we've got probably one of the larger girl troops in our council, and they're doing great. But, you know, in other areas, they decided to drive to do this integrated family troop. And so they did the pilot program. They did a lot of data research to see how it went. And all the feedback that they got was very positive, that the boys and girls could work together with proper supervision. They don't have any issues. You know, the boys and girls are very competitive, but it's fun to see the boys get a little more, I guess... They want to compete more and try to make sure that they're you know, taking those leadership roles, and the girls get to do the same thing. I went to a Klondike Derby years ago, and it was before the girl troops were a thing, and we had a venture crew that was all girls, And the Klondike Derby is, you know, it's a skills competition where the kids get to pull a dog sled around, and they do different scout skills. And, you know, they did fire building and knot tying, and they did all kinds of building the emergency shelter and all that stuff. And I thought it was the most impressive thing was that this group of girls in this venture crew that called themselves the Sisters of the Scouts, they came in like second or third place because they were very competitive and they knew these scout skills just as well as the boys did.
Chuck, I have a question for you. The quartermaster program, you said, is identical to that of the Eagle Scouts.
Yes.
So one of the things at sea, which is a serious, serious hazard, is fire. Do you ever do anything about firefighting?
Oh, yeah. When we go to the academy, Sea Scout academies, there is always fire prevention and fire practices. Yeah. It's required in all four of our ranks. It's required to learn how to put out fire, different kinds of fires, what the different fire extinguishers do, where they should be placed on the boats. That's a major requirement for...
So what do I have to do to finish the quartermaster rank?
Okay, so when you get to ABLE, which is the rank right before quartermaster, then you start teaching. You start teaching younger scouts.
Huh.
And a lot of the requirements for quartermaster is teaching different stuff to your younger
scouts. So it's kind of like a chief petty officer. It's kind of interesting, yeah.
The boy we have working on quartermaster now is my son, and his... Well, first off, I need to give a big kudos to NYLT. It's a national youth training put on by the scouts. Because before I sent him to that, he had no interest in leading anything. And he went there for a week, came back, and he has been one of the biggest leaders in Bedford County as far as scouting wise.
That's great.
He's been nominated for the Sea Scout Leadership Award, which he was nominated from a guy in Pittsburgh for that. Because that's how far they knew what he did. But the quartermaster program is just like the Eagle. It's all leadership. It's learning the leadership. And then, like I said, there's that weird knot that he's got to learn, but he'll get that. It was my fault the first time. I bought black rope, and we had black markers. We couldn't figure out where we were putting the lines.
Well, if he wants a real challenge, tell him to try a monkey fist, which are damn near impossible.
I think he's actually tied one of those.
Those things are incredible. And Well, you guys have been great. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. I learned so much from you, too. What if I miss, Mike? Anything?
So one thing that we're actually doing this year that's kind of a different thing is in celebration of America's 250th birthday, we're actually doing a program across the state of Pennsylvania. It's called Light to Unite, and we're actually taking an American flag, and it's going to visit every county seat in every county, and we're having the scouts involved along with the local dignitaries and whatnot to raise the flag above the Capitol, do a ceremony, and bring that down, and then on Flag Day, we are going to present that to our state legislature.
You got any specials planned for the year yourself?
With the Sea Scouts, there is a Camper E250 that we're going to... Well, we're going to introduce Sea Scouts to another council is what we're going to do, and make them aware of what Sea Scouts are. We have one Cub Scout pack to Bedford County at the American Legion that's thriving, doing really well. And they got Spring Camperee coming up, and then there will be a summer fun day for them. Two troops in Bedford and one in Ridge and one in Saxton that are all planning for summer camp. They'll have their and every summer camp that I'm aware of has got a 250th anniversary theme going on this year. And the Sea Scouts are, of course, they're planning their they're making their plans for the trip to Erie. We'll probably spend a week up there, and then we're putting on a regatta. And that's going to be for all the Sea Scouts in the council. We were the first one, but there's three now, so I'm working on the fourth one.
Let me know when you do that. We'll promote that on the radio. I think that's a great thing. I want to thank you both. I want to thank Mike Sedor and Chuck Coral of the Scout. Really appreciate your time. Thanks again. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Rich. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 AM. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.